And this is your host, D. Wells, with Why Not You? And we all know that starting a business isn't always easy, especially when you currently have a 9-to-5. It takes planning and discipline. You have to push yourself to learn, adapt, sacrifice, and be flexible. It's just part of the journey. My guest, Nick Range, is a law enforcement sergeant and entrepreneur who started his business, Downrange Tactical, all while being career oriented. He had to maintain that positive mindset and discipline just to get going. Join me in this episode of Why Not You. Let's go, Nick.
About to get a DRT out there.
Yeah, yes, sir. And Why Not You? Let's keep it going, man.
I know, right? All right. So this is your host, D. Wells, man. I'm coming from the Why Not You studios, and I'm with my boy, Nick Range.
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Good. My man is a sergeant with Elk Grove PD, and man, we actually met some time ago at a supervisor's training, and man, we just kind of clicked and started talking about some stuff. Kind of both have that leadership, entrepreneurial spirit mindset. So, man, it's definitely good to kind of connect with like-minded people, man, and progress.
Couldn't agree more, man. It was like trauma bonding. You know what I'm saying? Going through that school, the 2 weeks of 2 weeks of PowerPoint, man. That was some good times.
I know, right? So, man, what prompted you, man, to start, DRT? You know, you got clothing, you got hats, t-shirts, and it's all about that tactical gear. I love it.
Yes, for sure, man. So, a lot of stuff kind of prompted it. With the merchandise side, one of the things was I was ordering from a lot of like training groups online, and I'm receiving their products, and just kind of quality control type aspect was one thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm buying these shirts, I'm supporting these groups, and I'm getting this shirt, and I'm like, man, this is cool. I wash it. It's a belly button shirt now or something, or stiff like cardboard. I'm like, man, that's not cool. I'm not trying to rock that anymore. You know, you're supporting it, spending the money on the group, and then you're getting it. You're like, man, you know, and you're paying top dollar for this stuff. So that was one of the things, like, cool, I can create something similar or better and something that's going to have a lot better quality control. And that's kind of the avenue I went with that. It's putting out a good product from the merchandise side. The other side of DRT, which is kind of like the main vision for us right now, is kind of getting into more training. Got thrown into a training role pretty early at our department. Developed a big passion for it. And I really just want to give back to other agencies. We're pretty fortunate at our department with the resources and funding we have to send us to pretty high-end trainings for the most part, especially on the tactical side. Yeah. We've got to train with some really good groups and just be able to take that knowledge and spread it to other departments that may not have those resources available. Just kind of give those key nuggets we're taking away from them. Just to keep everybody safer, man. That's the main goal with it. The merchandise on the side is the fun thing. That's what I'm passionate about. Just have fun doing it.
But when it comes to the tactical side, have you guys actually trained with anybody in particular that kind of helped you, like, just kind of elevate the way you train?
Absolutely. Some of the big names that we've had, GBRS, Global Battlefield Research Solutions, come out and train us. Core Vision Tactical, Fieldcraft Survival, ACES, a lot of tier one, really top level guys coming out to train us. And it's like, man, we're so fortunate to have these people come out and essentially kind of just nitpick the way our team's moving and hitting key elements on stuff that we were missing maybe with the training. And just to be able to take that and take that to other departments. Cause I mean, the price point for them is pretty high to get them out. Yeah. And obviously I'm not paying for it, which is nice, but, I know a lot of departments won't put the money into those resources for their officers. So to be able to kind of take that and essentially just run with it and pass it on to other people.
Right. I think that's sweet, man. Cause I think, I mean, there's no better place to actually learn from somebody who's actually, who's executing that at an extremely high level. And then passing that down to you so you can pass it down to other people.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, not that many people have that opportunity, or not that many people actually want to share that info that they actually get.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, my big thing, and that's, I read this on a wall one time and stuck with me, is that knowledge is useless unless it's shared.
Yeah.
You know, so especially in a profession like we're working in, man, it's like I want to give anybody any tool that I have to make sure they go home that day. So if we can give them one piece of information that can stick with them to make them a little bit safer, then hey, that's a win for us, you know.
Yeah.
No matter where we got it.
So which do you think is more of I guess your passion, the tactical side or the clothing?
Honestly, man, I'd say it's pretty equal.
Is it really?
You know, I have a lot of fun doing both. Like, it's fun having kind of playing with that creative side and watching your ideas come to life on merchandise, essentially. But also seeing that side when you're instructing and you're seeing like the light bulb go off. Like, oh, shoot. Right. Yeah, maybe I did miss that angle. And it's cool you guys are exposing us to this and like that you get those little small wins. And I think ultimately that's a little bit better. But the merchandise thing satisfies just more of like my personal like, all right, yeah, I made that. That's cool.
Yeah. So what other kind of ideas you got brewing, man? I just kind of feel like I'm like, man, Nick probably got so many things going on.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a... kind of a scatterbrain, man. I'm trying to get my hand into everything, you know. I try not to stay limited with one option. With the training side, we're really just trying to take that off this next year. 2023, 2024 is going to be the year we're really going to start pushing that out to like the public sector and do a little bit more with that. Mm-hmm. We've had some private trainings with some small unit groups right now already completed, which has been good and been a lot of fun. But we really want to get into the civilian side as well. Just little things, firearms training, CCW type stuff, just to kind of see what we can push out in that avenue. Kind of where we're starting right now.
I mean, that'd be huge right there, kind of pushing it out to civilians and having them kind of go through some kind of like stress test. Because you know, I mean, you hear so many people want the firearms, but are they going to be able to use it proficiently and accurately in a stressful situation?
You know? Absolutely. Yep. And I feel like so much of civilian training, which to a certain degree I understand is pretty static line, right? You know, it's like you're up there, cool, draw, fire, shoot, cool, holster, we're done. Yeah. I'm kind of basing it off like a tier system, like a qualification system to where it's okay, cool, you've reached level one, now we're going to level two. We're gonna work some barricades or something like that, you know, just to kind of help build the public up a little bit more.
Got it. Man, that's crazy. That's good stuff too, man.
Yeah. It's gonna be a journey, man. I'm sure we'll run into some interesting stuff. It'll be a good time.
Yeah. Because I know, man, just starting a business in general, I mean, it's never easy. I mean, you always come across some type of challenges and things like that. What are some of the challenges that you faced in the beginning or like currently facing?
Some of the challenges, man, let's see. I mean, just the initial setup side in general was kind of difficult, you know, just kind of like the back end with the taxes, the Board of Equalization, all that stuff, getting all that stuff figured out. Because it was trial and error, you know. It's like, okay, I want to start a business. Cool. What do I got to do? I go down to get my business license. They're like, no, sir. You need this, 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 and this. I'm like, okay. And just start like slowly checking off that list. So that was difficult, kind of just to begin with, getting started. But once it got started, that flowed pretty well.
Yeah.
Other than that, I would say social media, man, is it's different. It's hard.
I know it is. Huh?
Like I know everything kind of revolves around social media. Our main platform right now is running on Instagram. But like, I'm not one to really be in front of a camera. Most people that know me, it's not a comfortable experience for me. So I'm kind of trying to break that barrier right now, you know? So that's been challenging, just kind of getting comfortable, taking pictures of yourself, doing things, even like movements. It's just been kind of awkward for me, but breaking through that's just kind of a challenge. And then just from the apparel side, it's just meeting timelines, you know, figuring out how am I going to get stuff to people in a timely manner once we say it's ordered and it's done, you know?
Yeah.
Because especially when it's out of your control, you know, you're outsourcing to other people to, you have trust in them to get all your products done, get it done right so you can get it shipped out in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So I had to work through a lot of kinks with that, especially on our first order, just running a pre-sale, like something simple as like, hey, I'm going to start the sale on this date. And I'm going to end it on Friday at 5:00, right? Mm-hmm. But not thinking in my mind, okay, I ended it on Friday. It's a pre-order. Nobody has their products yet. But now I got to order them through my third-party person who's going to press them and get them all ready to go. But now they're not going to get ordered until Monday because we're waiting on the weekend. And the shirts aren't going to get shipped out until then. So it's like you already pushed it back another 3 days. So little kinks like that, you know, work through some of that stuff. But
How were you able to find, a vendor to actually do your shirts?
So I live in a pretty small town right now and everyone kind of knows everybody. So the same guy that did the Little League shirts for our little baseball team local up here, he hooked it up for me, man. He does a really good job. He's extremely knowledgeable with all like the, just with the screen printing in general. And then with kind of the different blends on the shirts and what you're going for, like he can get anything you want, pretty much get how you want, which is awesome. So he's been a really good resource for me.
Yeah.
One of my buddies up here owns a gym in Houston as well. So I got to see that. So that worked out as well.
Oh. And I know you, man, you mentioned something about the Board of Equalization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was their role as far as you're like in your business?
It's just the tax purposes.
Okay.
So you have to file with them, basically saying, so you send basically all your information to them on what your sales were for the end of the year, but you have to get registered with them to get your tax number and all that. So that way they know you're a legitimate business.
Okay.
But I didn't even think about that until I already got some stuff set up. Like, hey, did you do the board of equalization stuff? Nope. All right, cool. So go on there. It was quick, but it's just like little steps that you don't think about, you know?
Right. And I know, cause there's people I've come in contact with, you know, they want to start their own business. So as they're listening and I got to, you know, just kind of have like a brief overview and explanation of like what certain things are for, certain entities are for, and how that can actually help them get to the next level. Yep.
That's good. And then like fictitious business name, like depending on what city you're in, you might have to go file a fictitious business name with the city prior to being able to get your business license and your bank account. And they won't accept it unless you have all that stuff squared away. It's like going to your local paper group to run your ad in the paper with your fictitious name. Like it's one more step you got to take that you wouldn't necessarily think about, but it all came together.
Worked out. That's a lot, man. People have the ideas and they just don't think about the whole, I mean, everything that you got to plan and everything that kind of goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just kind of jump in without a lot of planning. And so like, just how important do you think it was just for you to actually get that planning piece done and just kind of itemize things like a checklist of things you're going to have to do?
Yeah, that was huge. So, I mean, originally, like I didn't know what the plan was, you know, like I wanted to do a business and it's like, okay, cool. Like what's my first step is getting my business license. So I go down to the city to do that. Then they're like, okay, Hey Range, you need this, and this. And I'm like, okay, cool. And that's when that list kind of came in for me. But once I had that list, it made it easy, you know, cause it's like, okay, cool. This is where I go to get this. You start to execute. Cool. We got all those lined out. Now we're an official business.
Yeah.
And then it's more so now too. I mean, with the planning just for drops and where the business is going to go, I think it's really important to have that timeline and be like, okay, cool. How many pre-orders are you trying to run a month? When are you going to get these? When are you going to run your deadlines? You know, just to keep everything strategic and pushing it moving in the right direction.
Now, do you have like, just like a list of, you know, goals and like, just kind of like a vision for your business and, you know, where you want to be like within the next year or 2 years type of thing?
Yeah. Next year, I'm kind of previously discussed on that, right? Just the public sector is going to be huge for us within this next year. Kind of reaching out to that. And then we really want to start pushing more of the training and just kind of getting, at least we can get one group a month. That's going to be our goal for 24, one group a month. And we'll do some plane training on top of that throughout the weekends. But one group a month for next year is our goal for op tempo for us. And then as the merchandise side, you know, I envision it kind of essentially going to kind of like how Grunt Style is. I'll use them as an example. They're a pretty well-known name, but they run like the merchandise subscriptions and things like that. I'd like to kind of get into that, like a shirt club, essentially. Like, hey, once a month, we'll send you out something.
Right.
But I think for us, that would come to, if we're going to push out to that level, I think we would need to cut out the middleman, buy the machine, work ourselves, and start pressing and doing stuff ourselves. Just to kind of push stuff out a little bit more timely. So we'll see. That's kind of the next step, looking into that, if we're going to get a facility and go that route or not. But that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
I mean, that'd be huge. It, man, your story kind of reminds me of a young lady I had on last year with Frontline Sheet Metal. And she kind of, you know, kind of had the passion for doing kind of, you know, what she's doing now. But kind of learning as you go, right? Learning the marketing aspect, learning the budgeting part, and building these relationships with people, dude.
It's different. It's definitely different, but it's good, man. It's like you said, the marketing, the relationship building is huge too. You know, like just meeting new people, spread stuff around, like every little share, whatever helps tremendously, especially in the small business world. So it's been pretty cool.
I think, especially, man, when you're operating in like a gift or something that you love doing, it's not even work, you know.
Dude, I can do this all the time, all day, every day. Let's go.
That's the goal, right? You know, you got to keep it fun,
right?
If you're not having fun with it, why are you doing it? You know, that's kind of the way I look at it.
And I know, man, you're like in just the industry that you're in, I know it's like, you know, it's competitive, Because you have so many people coming out with some kind of like tactical gear or some kind of training. What, you know, what kind of mindset do you think you have to have, especially like in a market like that?
I think you can't, especially like with other groups and people putting out merchandise, like you can't look at them like competition, you know?
Yeah.
Like I feel like you can learn something from everybody. Even for us as a group, like we go out and seek outside training, because if you're shut off to that, like, I think you're being kind of ignorant, you know, like, it's yeah. like, you gotta be willing to accept new tactics. Like, stuff evolves regularly every day. Just given whatever happens overseas, whatever happens here in the civilian world here, tactics are always adapting. And if you shut yourself off to new ideas, you're just not going to work for you. You know, you gotta yeah. be willing to adapt and to keep pushing. So I don't look at the competition aspect as competition. I look at it just for areas for growth. And it's like, end of the day, it's like, I know what we're putting on the line. I know what product we're pushing and kind of the passion and drive that we're putting behind our message. So I feel confident in that.
Yeah.
Kind of an old saying, right? If there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do no harm.
Right.
So, you know, right. As long as you know you're doing everything to your capability and working the hardest you can, pushing out the best product that you can.
Yeah.
With good intentions, like, there's nothing to worry about. The competition is just essentially someone else that you could work with.
That is sweet. That's good right there. And I'll never forget, man, I was listening to a pastor out of the Bahamas. His name was Miles Monroe, and he talked about competition and how he was with mm-hmm. one of his friends who actually owned a fast food restaurant. And so he's with this owner, you know, his friend, and then they end up going to another fast food restaurant. It's like, why are we going to your competitor, man? Why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, dude, he's not my competitor. You know, just because they're in the fast food industry, they're serving a whole different clientele than what I'm serving. So it's mm-hmm. like, there's no competition. This is my friend. And basically the same thing you're talking about, you know, you learn from one another.
Mm-hmm. It comes down to collaboration, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why have competition when you can collaborate? You know,
exactly.
You guys can work off the same markets. Not everybody has that mindset. I understand that people will be closed off to that. But I'm definitely willing to work with whoever and help out whoever, essentially, you know. There's no secrets in the game to me.
Yeah, that's right. So do you have a team of people that you're working with now?
I have one guy that I work with from my department.
Okay.
We're basically partners from day one together. My buddy, Chris. So we run the business together. So he's my main trainer, and he's the co-owner with the business with me.
Okay. Shout out to Chris. So,
yeah. Shout out to Chris, man. That's my boy. Yeah.
That's right. Now, are you partnering with anybody at this present time? Just to kind of, you know, collaborate and.
I said, we're still kind of getting the ball moving for us on the apparel side, but uh-huh. I would definitely like to partner with people. I know there's big companies like Tactical Distributors and stuff that carry a bunch of different tactical groups gear. So yeah. eventually getting into something like that. And even just on small scale, you know, I mean, we have all the local like golf tournaments, the 1035, the Spartan, things like that, go out there right. and spread it out that way a little bit. That's going to be kind of our next step locally. But I'd love to get some bigger collaborations going and kind of get some things rolling. Never been to a trade show, so it'd be kind of cool to go see how that is.
That would be, huh? Now, kind of doing something like, you know, we have like one of the main clothing stores that we have out here for, as far as like uniforms and stuff like that, is Curtis Blue Line. Mm-hmm. Now, with something like that, would that be easy or pretty difficult to get into?
I don't know. Honestly, I've never talked to them on that level. It'd be worth talking to. That's another thing we talked about too, like local gun shops and things like that that carry gear. Yeah. Just getting a little rack, throwing some shirts in there, some hats in there, just kind of seeing how that takes off. As of right now, we've only ran everything off a pre-order right now, just so we're not carrying inventory. I don't necessarily know what's going to be the sellers yet. Just kind of figuring everything out. But I would definitely like to push that avenue as well.
Yeah.
And get into those uniform shops and kind of the smaller mom and pop gun shops and things like that. Kind of see how that moves.
Right. Yeah, because I know the manager over there, Marilyn, she's pretty cool, man. So I think okay. she'll be, yeah.
There you go. You got to put in the word for your boy, man.
Hey, there you go, right?
I'll be in there tomorrow.
That is funny. Hey, so, you know, what kind of books are you reading right now, man? I know you're a leadership guy. Have read like in the past that, you know, that's kind of helped you as far as like just the way you think, and or maybe even changed the way you think.
Some of the stuff, so the books that I've read, I'm not a big reader. I'll be first on that to admit that. I know there's a lot of good books out there, but the books that have caught my interest was the Jocko Discipline Equals Freedom. Uh-huh. I read that book, and then the David Goggins book, Can't Hurt Me. Okay. That was one of the ones that I read as well. And that I basically got introduced to those just from through podcasts and things of that nature, just kind of hearing them talk and the message that they're preaching, and kind of just fell in line with a lot of stuff they were saying. As far as the way I think and kind of put it towards business, is it spoke to me in the way of just get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially with the Goggins stuff, it's like, you know, there's going to be challenges in life, you know, seek those challenges, push through them, take action, and whatever happens from there is what happens, you know, but you gotta basically push it and kind of go for it.
Yeah.
So getting comfortable being uncomfortable with future means overcoming adversity, and not shying away from it, essentially, you know?
Yeah.
I think with a lot of that stuff too, you can apply that to a lot of different aspects of your life. And I think it kind of all ties in together with business, you know, like you tie it in with your eating, your fitness, your work discipline, and all that, how you work on all those aspects will kind of all transfer over to your business side. And I truly believe that, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, man, I just wonder, like, how many people out there have these, you know, have these ideas that they want to pursue, but, you know, with all these self-limiting beliefs or fears, they just allow mm-hmm. that stuff to take over. And mm-hmm. next thing you know, man, they're taking these, man, wonderful ideas and dreams, man. They just taking it to the gravesite with them.
100%, dude. Graveyard is the wealthiest place on the earth, man. It's like there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of dreams that just did nothing with it, you know?
Nothing.
And it's sad to see. I mean, you know, it's like there's probably 1,000 Elon Musk in the graveyard right now, you know? And it's like, just yeah. because they didn't take action. They didn't try to bring their idea to fruition.
Right.
It's like, you can't do that. You know, if you're scared to fail, you're scared to succeed. You know, it's yeah. like failure can't happen. It's okay. Okay. You know, like, what do you do with that?
Right.
You know, do you overcome it? What do you learn from that? Are you going to just cower down and say, okay, that sucks, I failed, I'm not gonna do anything else again? It's like, no. Well, what did you learn? Okay, well, my book sucked, so I failed financially. Okay, well, how do you fix that? You know, let's try again. So you know where you failed. So it's like, why not adapt and overcome that, you know?
Yeah, but exactly. Like,
I mean, it's like, you know, there's been stuff with our business that's been tough, you know, and running yeah. through with just financial stuff out the get-go, just getting started. It's like, okay, we're paying so much for these designs to get stuff pushed out, and it's it taps the books, and it's like, okay, well, how can we mitigate this? How can we do a little better, you know? And you just got to kind of reassess and kind of fix that.
Right. Man, at least you have like a solid team. And I mean, you guys are thinking about things methodically and not just being impulsive with how mm-hmm. you manage and spend.
Yeah, we're trying, man. We're yeah. trying. It's like, and starting with a small budget, I think helps that, you know, it kind of gets you without having like outside investors and things like that. It's all your own money.
Right.
So I think it makes you a little bit more, gives you a little bit of a sharper perspective on where you should spend your finances and where everything should go. You're a little bit more right. frugal with it. I mean, yes, there's yeah. risk regardless of whatever you're taking, but it helps kind of mitigate some of that.
Absolutely. I know, man, environment is tough, man. I think everybody needs a strong environment, accountability group. How important mm-hmm. is that to you, Jimmy, just to be able to thrive and you know, progress?
I think it's huge, man. Accountability is a huge, huge part of business. You know, it's like, if you don't have accountability, you're not meeting the things you want to meet to make that business successful, you know? Yeah. And it's the self-accountability, you know, what are your goals for the day? What are your goals for the month? What are your goals for the year? Okay. Yeah. And how are you going to achieve those? You know, and if you're not doing something every day to better that business and work towards that direction, it's like, okay, well then now you're failing and you're starting to degress at that point. Yeah. And that's going to reflect in your business. You know, that's kind of the cool thing about being a business owner. The only one responsible for your failure is yourself.
That's
so
right.
if you're not succeeding, it's because you're not putting the work in, because it's your business. You know, there's plenty of blueprints out there and plenty of things to do that you can make that business successful. So if you're not failing, you need to look in the mirror and figure out what it is that you're doing that is not allowing your business to grow.
Yeah.
But
a lot of self-reflection, man.
For sure, man. I mean, I truly believe, to hear this too, it's like, look at the people around you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think people truly are somewhat a product of their environment. You know, it's like you are who you surround yourself with to a certain degree. And if you're surrounded by negative people that don't want to push, don't want to better themselves, or just partying it up on the weekend, every weekend, trying to get you to go out, taking you away from what your vision and goal is, then of course that vision and goal is going to start to subside a little bit and slip. So it's kind of that self-reflection of, okay, like what is important to me right now? Is going out and partying important to me right now? Or is establishing my business and setting up my family for generational wealth what's really important for me right now? And that's going to show in your business, whether it's growing or whether it's digressing.
Right. Yes. I think it comes down to, man, just kind of paying a price.
Mm-hmm. For sure. A lot of sacrifices.
Paying a price, man, and just focus. And I think if more people actually had like a clear vision of what they wanted to do, they wouldn't allow so many outside distractions inside of that environment.
Yep. I agree for sure. Man, and it comes, I mean, it's, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was, go ahead.
No, let's say like, it's like just having those goals is huge, you know, and that's just for life in general, whether it's for business or it's for like your fitness goal, you're going to go run a marathon, you know, but having something to work towards helps keep you more self-accountable. You have nothing or no goal to work for, what are you trying to achieve?
Right.
Nothing. You're staying stagnant, you know? So just setting those clear goals for yourself to help you kind of evaluate yourself and make sure you're going in the right direction.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yep. That's true. So, man, how would you define success? Just personally.
Ooh, wrote a couple things down on this just because that's a tricky question, man.
It is, right?
I think success is very subjective, you know? Yeah. I'm just going to go off my brain on this. I wrote some notes down, but I don't want to go with it. I think it comes down to self-accountability, you know, and it's what are your goals for yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, success can be very small. And I think you need to celebrate the small successes in the journey to the big success.
Yeah.
So just having that clear outline, making sure you're getting a little bit better each day, working towards that goal, I think that's a success, right? Obviously, there's the financial winnings when you kind of strike it big and you start doing really good things. That's great. That can be a reflection of success. Yeah. But also it's being happy doing what you're doing. If you're not happy doing it, I don't care if I'm successful in it, right? Because now my quality of life is diminishing and I don't want that to happen either. So enjoying what you're doing and slowly progressing each day just to get a little bit better and work towards that big goal, whatever that big goal is kind of the easiest way for me to sum up success.
Yeah. Man, I totally agree. And what you said, man, you celebrating the small wins. That's huge right there, man. We're actually, we were reading a book in our little group last night, 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. And in the third chapter, Law of the Mirror, that's the chapter we were going through. It actually talked about, you know, celebrating the small wins.
Yep. Absolutely, man. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. But not allowing that. I was going to say, but not allowing that success either to stop you and let, you know, some people just become stagnant. They're like, oh, man, I achieved this goal. Now I can just take a break. No, man, it's you got to keep on going.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's how, and that's how it was with our very first drop we did. I remember it felt so good just to hit the close on that pre-order and then send it off. And it came in and shipped everything off. Like that wasn't, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't big. You know, our first drop wasn't huge and get a bunch of stuff out. But it was just that win of like, okay, cool, we're doing this. Now we know what it takes to make this thing go and to kind of move things in the right direction. And it's, celebrate it, but don't get comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
That's right,
yeah. keep that hunger, recognize that feeling. Okay, that felt good. Now let's double that next time, you know?
That's right.
Hey, so man, just to all the people out there who are listening, who have ideas and dreams, you know, what can you share with them as far as to take action on that stuff?
My biggest thing is just don't be afraid of failure. Chase failure. You know, like you can't run from adversity. Take it head on and just take that next step. If you don't take initiative, nothing's going to get done. You know, whatever it is. You know, you could have a dream to open a bank, whatever. I'm just using that as an analogy. Just do it, you know, like just, you gotta take that step. No one's going to make you successful but yourself.
Right.
So if you can't take initiative yourself, like no one's just going to be like, okay, hey, here's the money. Here's the recipe to success. You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Unless you're born into generational wealth and you just have that, but then it's just like, okay, cool. But I think for people that are really trying to self-develop and self-grow, like you can't be afraid to take that initiative and just kind of drive into that next step of your life, because that's going to be what takes you from where you're at to where you want to be.
That's right, man. I think that's so huge because I think, you know, a lot of people are also, they're just afraid to stretch and have faith.
And so 100%.
Right there. That's on time right there.
Yep. It's a, I'm a big believer in it's God's plan, you know, like it's, you know, shoot for the stars and where you land is where you land, you know?
That's right.
But if you're not taking the steps, you're not going to go anywhere. So you got to take that risk and God will get you where he wants you to go.
That's it. Yeah. Man, what you just said, man, it made me think about like how many people, how so many people, they just, they be like, you know what? I prayed and I'm just going to allow God to do whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. you got to take some action on me.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, it's like I'm a firm believer, man. God puts people and things in your life on in certain times for certain reasons, you know?
Right.
And I'll use this podcast for an example, right? Like I'm not a public speaker at all. I'm not comfortable being in front of a camera. So it would have been very easy for me to be like, all right, Derek, no, that's cool, bro. But
yeah,
I don't think so, man. I'll shoot you a text on how I feel about these questions, you know? But no, it's like with taking those steps, getting out of your comfort zone and just going with it, man, you know, and it's just, it's everything happens for a reason. I think you need, yes, like you said, people pray for change and they don't realize that a lot of those changes are placed in front of them, but they're just not taking the action to make the change actually happen.
Right. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, man, y'all heard it first from Nick Range. Put downrange tactical. We're going to get that out there, man. We're going to pump that for sure.
Yep. I like it. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, bro.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to thank Nick for coming on to the show. I appreciate your time, Nick. To all you listeners, I hope you guys don't see competition the same way anymore. See competition as a way to grow and an opportunity to actually collaborate with some other folks who might be operating in your same space. Next week, your boy is going solo. So anyways, you all have a blessed week. And remember, we can't become what we need if we remain where we are. Work on becoming the best version of you. God bless. D Wells is out.